Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Brew, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. A busy week in hockey, Blake.
Yep. It is the Tage Thompson show last week. It's my favorite player in the league. Gonna have to get a jersey. It was quite the night there on Wednesday night, right?
Well, we will talk about that on the show. Lots going on in this week and, I don't know, some good news, some bad news. Good news, Letang, 12 days after suffering a second stroke, he's back.
Are we going to talk about that? Like, or you want to talk about that now?
I'm talking about it right now. What more is there to say?
I was shocked. Like, the first stroke, his first stroke, he missed, like, 8 weeks. And, like, I was shocked that he came back in 12 days. I was like, oh, like, this. Well, we were talking about, like, this might be, like, career threatening, like, we don't know, like, this is not good.
It still could be.
You just never know, right? Like, when I saw that he was in the lineup 12 days after, I was like, wow. It's like, I was shocked.
You have to wonder kind of, is it smart? Like, I don't know. I mean, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. So
right.
Obviously, they're not going to tell him to do it if it's unhealthy. Jack Hughes records the longest shift in NHL history, 602.
He
was on the ice.
Do you have context to this? Because I really didn't look into it that much.
He was on the ice 11 of the final 14 minutes of this game and the final, 602. And,
Did he get caught on the ice a puck six times? No,
they were down a goal. They were down a goal.
Oh, okay.
But okay. And the only reason I bring this up is because it makes me wonder. Like, this is some kind of goofy shit you'd see in squirt hockey.
Right. Or I don't know, rack.
Senior men's ain't nobody going 6 minutes, boy. I'll tell you what. There ain't nobody going 6 minutes. And if they are going 6 minutes, it is not fast.
Well, you got, that's if you're short guys. Hey, if you got 10 guys, as long as you got the right 10, right?
I don't know. I can't help but think that somebody else out there wouldn't have been better. But I don't know.
Well, they would have been more fresher for sure, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't really read into that much. I honestly thought it was a typo. Ugh. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
So was it last Tuesday the Canucks played the Canadiens to a 7-6?
Monday. Yeah, Monday night hockey. That was,
Is this something you're happy with if you're a Canucks fan, or is this something you're just
Listen, you know me. I eat, sleep, breathe Canucks.
Except for you quit on them 50 times.
I will be honest. I turned the game off in the first period. I wasn't doing it. They allowed 4 goals on 8 shots.
Yeah, it was like 4-0.
Why would I invest my time in that? Evidently I turned it back on when it was 4-2. I don't know. But that was just a crazy game. Crazy game.
Our old junior buddy Blake Lazard got into a scrap this week. Did you see that?
I did see
Aston Reese jumped him.
Oh, that was a good little tell. Yeah, I've always liked him. I like undrafted guys and
works his ass off.
The block shots and got it. Chips in with the odd goal.
If everybody in the league worked that hard, think about how crazy the games would be.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a who's another guy that's like that, Tyler Mott, guys that undrafted, just have to work their ass off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Saw the dumbest thing I've ever seen in hockey this week.
What's that?
Dumbest thing I've ever seen in pro hockey. Dumbest. Thomas Chabot, or whatever you want to call him.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking baseball swings in the bench, throwing a temper tantrum, and hits Travis Hamonic in the face. If I was Travis Hamonic, old Shabbat would be buying me steak dinners for the rest of the fucking season.
Rest of his career. He's lucky he has no teeth there in the front, Chicklets.
What is going on where players are acting like this? What is going on?
Hey, after the episode, so there's a guy on Twitter named John Boy, okay? He does, like, breakdowns and, like, talks about it. Like, he did one on this, and he showed, like, the whole thing where Shabbat got hit in the head, didn't get called. Then the Senators got a penalty. He was pissed.
So he's going to throw a temper tantrum in it.
I'm guessing he thought he was on the end of the bench and was just going to hit a stick up against the glass. But, like, it was just – I was just like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Flat out stupid.
Your Flames lost in the skills competition today.
Just
went over final. 2-1. Yeah. Can't blame the goalie when you only score one goal, though, eh?
Don't have any players.
What is going on with the Calgary Flames, buddy?
They're all injured.
What was your thoughts on Sutter's comments after the Toronto game?
I don't know that he's not bang on.
Oh, Brad.
What? So you're going to tell me they haven't won for 50 years because of that? No, they haven't won for 50 years because they got horseshit management.
No, hold on. No, but I'm saying.
I'm just saying that game.
Out of the seven penalties that were called, though, five of them were legit. The overtime one, it hits him in the visor, but like, you got to control your stick. Like, you can't even put the ref in the position to call a penalty.
But you can also hunch way down then, right? Put your head down in the stick. I don't know. I mean, can you do that?
I don't know.
So I know what I'm going to do next time I'm playing hockey. I'm fucking skating right next to the bench where their players' sticks are hanging over, and I'm going to take one right in the chops.
That's not what he did.
I think what Sutter's getting at is it's not so much the Maple Leafs. It's the way this team plays. This team is a diving pile of shit team. They magnify everything. Everything. They don't play through a trip.
Nope.
Stick goes in their legs. They're not fighting through it to make a play. They're diving.
Yeah, but
they don't fight through anything.
I'm not even defending the Leafs here, but like, don't you feel like that's the whole league nowadays?
It's a lot worse than it was 10 years ago.
I think a lot of guys, players. Sticks in the legs. They're going down. They're drawing a penalty. That's just what the game is now, man. It's power plays. It's what it is.
So it's like soccer.
The league wants offense up, more power plays. Right? We talked about that, right? Talk about that start of the year, right? Am I wrong there or am I out to lunch?
I don't know that that's the answer. Slow the game down and call more penalties. I don't know if that's the answer. That sounds like a baseball mentality, but I don't think that's the answer to make the sport more exciting.
And I'm not saying every player embellishes and like stuff like that. Like,
and I'm not either.
Trips happen, but like some guys just go down easier than others.
It's called softer players, Blake. That would sum it up. Softer players.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you think of Keith Yandel on the panel? Like him?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
I wish I could vote a few other ones off.
Yeah, we won't get into that. Lots of conversation for off the podcast.
I saw something interesting, and I'm sure you saw it too. It was all over Facebook for like 14 days. The total duration of live action in professional sports. Did you see this graphic?
Of
live action. When you live go to a, action. Okay, so I'll explain it to you. When you go to a football game, right? A pro football game.
Oh, like tackle, like time tackling and stuff.
No, listen to me. When you go to a pro football game, the game on average takes 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But guess how much time of action you actually see?
38 minutes.
11. There's 11 minutes of action in an NFL game. In baseball, an average game lasts 2 hours and 56 minutes. There's 18 minutes of action. In a basketball game, the average game lasts 2 hours and 18 minutes. There's 48 minutes of action.
Yeah.
In hockey, this is counting
Well, that's 48 minutes. Like that's,
of action.
That's how long it takes an NBA game. So there's action every minute.
No, it takes 2 hours and 18 minutes.
No.
Listen to me. They are counting between innings. They are counting half times. They are counting period breaks. They are counting everything.
Listen to what I'm saying, Brad. There's 48 minutes in an actual, like, basketball game. There's four 12-minute quarters. So that's really good, though, if stats-wise, no?
Yes, I know. There's 48 minutes.
Okay.
That's 30, I wish once you just let me finish the
point. Okay, what is hockey?
2 hours and 20 minutes, 60 minutes of action, because there's three periods of 20 minutes. So when you go to a hockey game, you see 42.86% of action. When you go to a basketball game, you see 34.78% of the time of action.
Yeah.
In baseball, you see 10.21% of your time there is action. And in football, 5.79%. That's crazy.
Okay. Now, how I would rank them, I would probably rank football the lowest, live being there. What?
Oh, yeah, because you're the furthest from the field.
You can't see shit.
Yeah, you're the furthest from the field.
I enjoy going to baseball games because you don't have to be locked in to the whole game. You can go on your phone. You can talk to your buddies at the game, whatnot. Go get a hot dog, whatever. It's a cool experience going to a baseball game. But hockey, you have to pay attention the whole game because there's guys interchanging shifts and there's a lot of moving parts. And that's what I like about it. Mm-hmm. You have to be focused.
Thus my point for putting it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was good. I didn't see that stat, but that's good.
I thought it was interesting. It caught me off guard a little bit. I thought there would be more action in football than baseball, but when you drill it all down,
there's just so many time in between plays and
the clock runs. The clock runs. Yeah. Man, there's huddles and the clock's running. So
the clock 20 seconds go off before you even snap the ball sometimes. It's just
Yep.
It's crazy.
All right. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Tage Thompson, how he has elevated his game to superstar status. And then we'll go around the league, talk about Marner's milestone, avalanche of injuries. And a couple cross checks this week that I thought were pretty flagrant. All right, we've talked about this guy more this year than his other 4 years combined in the league. And probably rightfully so, as I think he's become one of the more exciting guys to watch in the league. I don't know. I mean, I know he's turned into your new favorite player, but
I think he's turned into a lot of people's favorite player.
He is damn exciting, and that's Tage Thompson. And this week, Wednesday night, he had my picture-in-picture going on my TV as I was watching another game, and I was flipping over. And I had the Buffalo Sabres versus Columbus Blue Jackets on the big screen, and my game I was originally watching on the little screen. 4 goals in the first period.
5 points in the first period. He had an assist, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think that he can do that. He's the first Sabres player in the franchise history to score 4 goals in a period. And he did it in the first. And in a game, we saw 9 goals, there's a couple things I was surprised about, and I want to get your take on this before we talk about him as a player. He usually plays 18 minutes a game, a little over 18 minutes. And he only played 14 minutes this night.
Yeah, and he only got 4 minutes in the third period.
Do you think that's a coach's decision?
Well, yeah, it's a coach's
decision. Well, obviously it's a coach's decision.
It's out of respect for your opponent, right? You're already up 9-2. You don't really want to. But, I see both sides.
And
as a fan, you would maybe like to see him go for the record.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a record that hasn't been done in years, right? Like decades. So
I look at this couple ways though.
Like, yeah.
I'm all about respect. And if it's 9-1, okay. But this game's 9-4. And not that they're a five goal. Well,
but it was 9-2. Like,
okay.
When they start sitting him.
But Blake, here's my only argument. And I am, believe me, I am like old school. You don't break the code. But this is a night I break the code because you know what? This is the freaking Buffalo Sabres. They have not had anything in Buffalo to cheer about for freaking a decade. Let them have their night of fun. Yeah. Let them go for this. This was, even without him getting the record, it was the biggest talk in the league. Could you imagine what this does to the Buffalo Sabres had he breaks this record?
Yeah, no, it would have been cool.
I don't understand what the mentality is there. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm Buffalo ownership, I'm pissed at my coach. I'm pissed off at my coach.
Like I said, I see it both ways, but yeah, this guy, I'm running out of adjectives to describe this guy, right? I mean, last year he kind of showed us, right, with 38 goals and 68 points and 78 games, and this year, I mean, I feel like this guy's scoring damn near every game, right? He's got 21 goals, 28 games. He's got 41 points. Like, this guy, he's like a unicorn, right? I mean, like, his size, like, there ain't many players in the league that size, that fast, that can have hands like that. Like, I mean, he's got, like, some Crosby in him, some McDavid in him. Like, he's got some aspects of different players into one guy. Like, it's, he's got Chara's size. He's got, McDavid's, like, he's quick.
And it's like, he is not McDavid quick though. That's probably an unfair. No,
he's not McDavid. That was just an example. Like, he's got like, he's pretty damn fast for a guy at 6'6", 6'7".
He's strong. I think what's different is I kind of like what you're doing, but I kind of don't like what you're doing comparing him to those guys. Because I think he's a more well-rounded player in the fact that I think he's really good in a lot of aspects, a lot of them. And then he has the size package to go along with it. He's great along the boards. He works the puck well. He can stick handle well. He's not elite at it. He can shoot well. I mean, he can do everything very well.
And he's impossible to knock off the puck.
Because he's 6'6".
Like, he's so good at protecting the puck, and he finds the soft areas, and I mean, he scores from distance. He scores in tight. Like, this guy's scoring in a lot of different ways, and he's just so hard to defend.
He's making.
We talked about it at the start of the year, right? About the extension, right? We weren't sure. Like,
I questioned it.
Is this worth it? I mean,
we still don't know. I mean,
I said I liked the extension, but like the jury was still out, right?
Oh, so, for sure.
Yeah, he's right now. He's worth every penny, and he's probably right now. He's a top five player in the league.
So it got me thinking. It got me thinking about. He's kind of the next superstar in the league. And who else do you kind of put in that category? As far as young players that we're currently this year kind of watching take another step, in their development process and,
Young player?
Yeah. Who are the young players that are stepping themselves into the realm of stardom?
I think Cole Caulfield's in that, discussion.
He got leveled tonight. Leveled. Left the game.
He did.
Head up.
But.
Ooh, head up.
He's okay. It's okay. The band-aid got left the game too, I saw. So that stuff.
He got hit in the head with a slap shot.
It's tough loss.
Shit. You know, that's what's wrong with a Canucks fan right there.
Hey, listen, I didn't see what happened to him. I just saw that he left the game. Calm down.
In the head with a slap shot.
Anyways, but yeah, like Cole Caulfield, I think he's in that conversation, like his goal scoring ability. I'm trying to think of some other guys off the top of my head.
Well, I think Kirill
Robertson.
Robertson, Kaprizov.
Yeah, well, Kaprizov had 97 points last year.
And he kind of had the breakout last year, I guess, but
yeah,
he's proving that it wasn't just a one-hit wonder, though, either. So, I know.
Is this the biggest win-win trade of all time?
I don't know. That's yet to be determined, right? I mean,
what do you mean?
Well, Buffalo has to have a little bit of. Are we talking? Which? Who are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about what the Blues got in Ryan O'Reilly, and they won the Stanley Cup. Well,
give
and
me then some
what,
time.
What Buffalo is getting back with Tage Thompson?
You know what Buffalo needs?
Well, they need.
They need a freaking win.
They need a lot.
They need a win.
But it takes more than one guy to get
that's
it done.
What I'm saying. So how can you say they won the trade? No, they haven't won anything because they haven't won any games.
I'm saying it's a win-win because Blues got a cup and the Sabres got a potential franchise player.
Potential, though.
Who's breaking out at age 25?
No. All I'm saying is if McDavid never wins in Edmonton,
which is a strong possibility.
Okay. Are we ever going to look at him the same as we look at Gretzky? Hell no. You can have the greatest player in the world.
Players don't care.
Franchise needs to win. You can give me the greatest generational player in the world in Calgary, and if I don't win, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I want to win. Teams want to win. Edmonton's not going to be like, you know, they never won a cup, but boy, they had McDavid. That was really good.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to not talk about it, though.
I know, but he's not. He'll, 100 years from now, he will never be talked about like Gretzky.
Look at all the good players that didn't win cups, though. Like,
I don't care, and they'll never be talked about like the ones that did. It's
the hardest trophy to win in sports.
Blake, but I'm just saying, Gretzky was the greatest player and won the cups. Ovechkin, great player. And won a cup. Like, that matters. That matters. Yeah. And if McDavid doesn't, Crosby, great player, wins cups. Like, it matters. And in the history books 50 years from now, they're not going to say, oh, that Roberto Luongo was a really good goalie. Never really won anything, but he was a really good goalie. Why do you think they talk about Ken Dryden today? Was Ken Dryden the greatest goalie ever? No, he was, but he was good and he won in Montreal. Yeah. They talk about him because he was a winner.
It also depends how you look at players, though. Like, are you a fan that just cares about points, just cares about awards, or are you a fan that looks at the legacy of players?
I'm talking about how they're talked about 50 years from now in history. And they're not going to say Jerome McGinley was the greatest hockey player ever. They're going to say,
He was one of the best, though.
Never got it done.
He should have won, but
I realize that, but never got it done. But never got it done.
Don't they give you PTSD here on the pod, like you give me every single episode?
Well, at least I had I actually should have PTSD because it was actually a game 7 win.
And no, game 6.
But yours wasn't. What would yours be?
It's next topic.
Exactly. So it's time to go around the league. And as we go to break here, I'll watch Blake practice racing the Stanley Cup. All right,
You're a clown. We're talking about this right now.
We're talking about it.
That is a joke, and it never happened.
Well, let's explain to the listeners.
There's no way it happened.
Let's listen to what was said so that the listeners actually know what we're talking about. Zdeno Chara on a podcast this week talked about the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals with the Vancouver Canucks and kind of went all over the board saying that the Canucks were reportedly skating around the ice, practicing handing off the cup to each other, which I find is freaking hilarious. And very Vancouverish. And then, they also were making phone calls to find out how many family members they could have there and stuff like this. And all kinds
which is normal. Every team does that.
Which I would agree with you on that. And just kind of surprisingly for a guy that I would never expect this from, just kind of blowing a lot of smoke on a podcast, which, God, if you're running that podcast, you gotta just be loving it, don't you? Like, you got to just be loving it. But he if was just.
If you're a podcast that loves having lies on it, sure.
Oh, come on, Blake. I'm sure if Zdeno Chara was on this podcast right now, you would not have called him out.
Yes, I would.
You would.
So. I would so. Because I watched it 4 times. And how made up and bullshit that was. He has so many holes in his story. He said, we saw, we believed we saw, we heard from people. Like, buddy, what are we saying here? Like, he changed his story 3 times in the story itself.
So why are, my question on this whole thing is, why are Vancouver Canuck fans riled about this? Like,
it's just, why? Okay, first of all.
If it's so far-fetched, Blake, why are you worried about it?
Because it is an attack on the team. That team.
Do you think that team cares?
Pause. That team had so much leadership on it. 3 first ballot Hall of Famers.
Still lost.
They're not gonna let that happen, dude. And
so what are you gonna go, so you gonna go in the mud hole with him, or are you just gonna be more mature and say it didn't happen? But why are Vancouver Canucks fans freaking out about this?
All I'm saying is, A, why bring this up 12 years later? Stupid. Well, second of all, you know how much media is at the Stanley Cup final, right? There would have been a story about it.
Okay, like you're reiterating the exact same things that BXA said.
Yeah, no, I said this before BX even said that.
All I'm saying, though, is that I want to know if it's so far-fetched, which I believe it is too. Why are you upset? Like, why do you care?
Because it's stupid. It's so dumb.
So who is it making look stupid, Blake?
It's an attack on the team?
No, who isn't? Stop and think. Who is it making Chara
look dumb?
Okay.
It makes Chara look dumb. So
then why are Vancouver fans taking the bait?
Because it's just so dumb. Like, it's just quit taking the bait.
Quit. So what? Who cares?
So do you think Chara? Oh, I'm today. I woke up. I'm just gonna make this up on this podcast. Like, it's just so dumb. And
no, I just think he got talking and started spewing shit that was a little bit over far fetched.
It's like,
but why? I just don't understand if it's so far fetched. Why are Vancouver Canucks fans upset? That's what I don't understand.
It's like, oh, we use that as motivation to win this game. Like. Next topic. That's stupid. Dumb.
Mitch Marner, 22 game point streak. This guy just finds a way every night. I don't know. I don't know.
Must watch TV. I hate to say it.
He's been good. He's been really, really good this year. And, you know, in right now. In a year
where Matthews isn't scoring like he usually does, you got to have somebody kind of pick up the slack and. I mean, it's been the goaltending and Mitch Marner carrying him.
I don't know if it's a goaltending. 14.
Buddy, both of their goalies have over 930 saves. Yeah,
well, I watched both Matt Murray play on Saturday night, and he was awful.
Yeah, he didn't have a great night, but since he's returned, he's been pretty good, I got to say. I'll be the first to admit it.
I just want to see Mitch Marner do this in the playoffs because I don't know that he can. I don't know.
Me too. He's only got, he has 42 points in 82 games.
I think you're going to see teams playing him way more physical than they are.
Why haven't we seen it already though?
Because it's regular season. You're going to see it in the playoffs. You're going to see it in the playoffs.
That's the thing about Marner is in 3 different playoff series, he had 0 goals. So, I mean, that, like I said about, I have many Leaf fans and that are friends and, like I always say, they're not going to get judged on anything they do in the regular season because everybody in the world that follows hockey and follows this team knows that they're a playoff team. They're going to get judged how they do in the playoffs and they haven't got out of the first round in 18 years and they're going to be continued to get laughed at and stepped all over until they win. It's just how it is.
Yep. No, I'm with you. But I will say he's been dazzling, to say the least.
He's been really, really good.
The Avalanche are flooded with injuries. McKinnon's out. Looks like 4 weeks.
It didn't really look like anything either.
A lot of injuries do.
You just got cross-checked, like.
But I just, the only reason I want to talk about this, there isn't a whole lot to say, because every team faces injuries. But this team, this is their roster on, I believe it was Friday night. McGahee centering the first line with Compher and Ratanen. Excuse me if I say these names wrong, because I've never heard of them. Foti centering Hudon and Cott. Ranta centering Cogliano and O'Connor. Burke centering Hunt and Myers. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's testing their depth for sure.
Not their team depth, their freaking organizational depth.
Actual depth, yeah. It's I've never really seen a list of injuries like that. Like, there's a Byram's hurt, Gerard's hurt, McKinnon's hurt, Landeskog got surgery on his knee.
The list goes on and on. So
not good.
Speaking of things not good, did you see Jeff Skinner's cross check to the face of Jake Guentzel?
Yeah, I did, and I'm just gonna flat out say I don't understand NHL player safety at all. I don't.
Three games.
I don't get it.
I thought this was a 10 gamer.
Listen, so Kirill Kaprizov did the exact same thing to Drew Doughty and got a $5,000 fine, but Skinner does it and he gets 3 games. It's the same play. Why are they both not 3 games? Or why are they both not 5,000?
One's a star and one's not.
It doesn't matter, though.
I know. I'm telling you, though. That's how it is. It happens with a McDavid all the time.
It's so stupid. It happens all the time. I don't understand.
I think this is a blatant cross-check right to the face. Like, should be way more than 3 games.
Do you know what play I'm talking about, though, with Kaprizov?
I do kind of remember it. Yeah, I do remember
it. Go back and watch it.
Wasn't it?
Turns around, yeah. Doughty, right in the teeth.
We talked about it on the show.
He got a match penalty and only got a 5K suspension. Like, if one is 3 or one is 5K, they both need to be 5K. So you already set the standard for fining Kaprizov. You can't go and suspend Skinner. I don't care if he's got 0 goals. I don't care. It needs to be the same. It's the same thing with review. Like, there is a goal interference. I'm like, this is goal interference, and then it gets called a goal, and then the next, it's complete opposite. I don't get it. It's the same way with player safety. I don't get it. I don't know anymore.
I don't either.
I don't know at all. It's as inconsistent as it is.
Yep. So what did you think of Pierre Engvall's high stick on Shane Durzi?
Deserve one game.
Yeah, it was one.
I don't think he blatantly like meant to slash him in the back of the head. Like, I think he went to get him maybe in the shoulder and the stick just rolled up and got him in the back of the head. Like, shit happens.
He gets one game for that.
One game is fine.
Shabbat should get 3.
Right? Team Hunt, Team Cry, if you're on 5 games.
Jeez. What do we do here in this world? Yeah. I don't know. I just thought the Skinner one was pretty blatant. And I don't know. Those are the things. I love hard hitting, but I mean, those are some dangerous things. So
yeah, it's like he cross checks him in the midsection and then he like blatantly just like, you're getting one in the teeth here. It's like, oh, okay. You're gone, but and he ended up getting a 5 and it ended up costing the game in overtime. So, not very smart.
Time for 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
What happened?
All right. Last week, I had 3 questions. Our last week, Blake asked me 3 questions, and now this week it's my turn to ask him 3 questions.
Yeah.
Question number 1. We hear every single week from, I think, about mid-May that Vancouver was trading JT Miller, and then they were trading Tyler Myers, and then the season started, and they were going to trade Brock Besser. We talked about that for 2 or 3 weeks. And now we're talking about trading Bo Horvat because he isn't going to re-sign in Vancouver. Is there ever going to be a move in Vancouver?
It's actually pretty sad when this news came out, I'm not gonna lie.
They're gonna let their heart and soul go.
I don't know. It's,
well, they made their bed. They signed JT Miller. They made their bed.
And we talked about it, like, they kind of had to sign JT Miller, right? I mean, yes, they did.
Kinda,
you even said that.
They kind of had to sign Bo Horvat first.
Yeah, and I think if you're Horvat's cap, you're a little bit disrespected that they didn't sign him before Miller.
If I'm Horvat's camp, I'm telling them that I'm not signing here if you give me $20 million.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a very wise decision to come out today and say, like, we've gone as far as we can with Horvat's cap and we can't sign him. Like, you kind of lost some leverage, to be honest.
Yeah, this is typical Vancouver Canucks right now.
But that being said, I still think the Canucks are going to get a pretty good return for Horvat. I do. There's going to be half a dozen contenders lining up to get this guy. He's in Vancouver. I bet Vancouver will retain half his salary to get a better package. You get Horvat at 3.25 at the deadline. You'll have Colorado calling. You'll have Washington calling. You'll have Toronto calling. You'll have, the Colorado Avalanche calling. There's a lot of teams, and Horvat's a good, he is a guy that.
So what happens to, when Horvat's gone now? What happens to the Canucks?
Well, you look at the Canucks team, right? Pretty good up front, right?
Take Horvat out of that.
Oh, hold on. Put your wingers in. You got your middle centers. They're pretty good up front, right?
And you might as well trade Besser because you've already pretty much told him he's being traded. So,
okay,
how hard does he want to play?
But right now, you look at their forwards, it's pretty good. You look at their goaltending. Demko, pretty good goalie. Not having a great year, pretty good goalie. So you got 2/3 of the puzzle done. You just got to work on your back end. I mean, you trade Horvat and you get.
Oh, your forwards are not done.
Well, but I'm not saying it's done, but compared to the defense, it's a lot better, right?
You're comparing it to the worst defense in the league.
Okay, it's not. Stop. It's not the worst in the league.
Who's worse?
You take the money you're going to give to Horvat and you use on the back end and you get rid of Besser or Garland and you use that money on the back end.
Oh, then you have no forwards.
You're gonna it, dude. It's gonna get worse before it gets better because they have no cap space. And listen, I told you 4 weeks ago on this podcast that it breaks my heart to say this, but in order for the Canucks to succeed, I think they have to trade Horvat. He obviously doesn't want to be there anymore. It's clear. They
pissed on him and kicked him.
It's tough. It's interesting. Like, what type of year is Horvat in right now?
His best year.
Oh, hold on. But contract what else is it year? This year? Oh yeah, there it is. Bing, ding, 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 ding. What did Gaudreau do last year? What did Kadri do last year? They all had career years. There, like Horvat.
Oh, so you're
is
saying Horvat's not going to be any good next year?
Horvat
now.
Is.
Oh, come what on, that's so is. Canucks.
Listen. He's my favorite player, Brad. He's my favorite player, but Bo Horvat is, he's a guy that will score you goals in the power play. He's a horse in the dot and he can score. But the fact is he's a 50 to 60 point player that doesn't get much assists. That's what he is. He's a guy that is known to produce. He's got a lot of points on the power play. He's my favorite player. I love the guy.
And he's a good leader. Sounds like exactly what the Canucks need.
Okay, but are you going to sign a guy who just got 100 points or a guy that's been a career 60-point guy?
So do you think JT Miller is going to get 100 points again?
He's about a point a game right now. He's going to be close.
Okay, well, I'll bet you he doesn't get to 100.
Listen, the Canucks need
to create. And he looks like everybody hates him.
The Canucks need to create cap space. They need to fix their defense. You're going to have to ship out some forwards to fix the D.
I agree. But when I see the Vancouver Canucks sign Brock Besser to a 3-year deal and then 8 weeks later say they're going to trade him, that tells me that this franchise is in disarray.
They tried to move him before he signed.
Then why sign him?
I don't know that answer.
Why give him $6 million? If nobody else wants him, if nobody else wants him, you're going to give him $6 million?
Because he's a guy that has potential to score 30 goals for you. That's why you sign him. And he just hasn't stayed healthy. And I listened to your Flames Unfiltered. I listened to it. And you're bang on. He's like Toffoli. They're the same player.
They are. They're the same player.
They're, the same
they
player.
They both are great shots, but they're both slow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I don't think he'll be a fit there. I think, like, there's a report that that Montreal is interested in him. So I don't know.
Oh boy.
I'm not sure. But, yeah, but to answer your question, yeah, I don't really know what direction they're going in here. It's, it's going to be a sad day when they trade Horvat, but I think, it's definitely happening now. It's more real today than 4 weeks ago.
That's for sure. Question number two. Jesse Puljujärvi came out this week and had some very harsh comments about his own play and the confidence that he has and the confidence that the team has in him, basically. Is this guy done in the National Hockey League, or is he a better player like I've always thought he is than we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the body, right? He's a big 6'3" guy. He can skate like the wind. He's got a pretty decent shot. It's very puzzling why it hasn't worked. Like, the Oilers have given him ice time with McDavid. They've given him ice with Draisaitl, and he just can't figure it out. And if you can't figure it out with two of the best players in the world, like, are you ever going to figure it out? Like, and that's what he was saying. Like, maybe I'm not good enough to be in the league, and which was a pretty crazy comment. Like, I mean, you talk about your buddy Markstrom, right? I suck at hockey right now. Like, it's like when players make comments like that, people take notice and they're like, whoa, like
different situation. That's with crazy. Mark. Different situation.
I'm just saying, like, it's kind of similar. No, it's kind of similar though.
You have a guy that's coming off a Vezina candidate year who's having a tough go.
The comments are similar. I'm not saying they're similar players, Bram. One, I suck at hockey, and two, I don't know if I can play in the NHL.
Yeah.
Pretty similar.
Without context.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. When you put context into the story, and it's far cry from the same.
Well, you're a big quote guy, so thought you would have liked that.
So, question number three. What are the pros and cons of the Montreal Canadiens sending Yuri Slavkovsky to the World Juniors?
I don't think there's any cons. I mean, it's like, they were talking about sending Cole Sillinger to the World Juniors in Columbus. Go let him have some fun, right? I mean, Seattle sent Shane Wright, which we all thought was going to happen. He needs to play. It's a way for him to get more ice time. The Arizona sent Dylan Gunther.
They're all teams that suck though.
But they're letting him go play for a lot, get 20 minutes of ice time a game. It'd be good for your development. Get some experience. Call us some fun. Why not send him? I mean,
okay.
He played in the Olympics. Sure. Send him. I don't have any problem with that.
Listener question from Evan Brewmeister, Alberta Lee, Minnesota. Last week, Andreas Anisiu criticized Jacob Trouba's physical play style. Do fans in the NHL want this reckless style of hitting in the game anymore?
Yeah, I love when Trouba lines guys up. It gets me fired up. I mean,
I love this. I like this question, but I hated one part of this question.
There's also a line you got to draw.
I didn't like the way he put his reckless style of play, because I don't think he's reckless.
No, I don't think he's reckless at all.
I think he holds people accountable to hold your head up.
Yeah, and that's how it was 20 years ago, right?
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
and I think the problem is now that players play like it's beer league now, and they don't think they're going to get hit because they've went through juniors and they're just I'm going to wheel and deal and no one's going to hit me. Cole Caulfield felt the wrath tonight.
Yeah, and I mean,
I don't even know if Trevor Lewis meant to hit him. So.
No, they just collided.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know if he meant to hit him.
Yeah, I just think they just turned into each other, to be honest. But I don't know. Like, you go back, like, 10, 15 years ago, there was 2-3 guys on every team that hit like Trouba.
Yep.
Right? Now, sure. Now you rarely see it. It's almost like it's
a lost art.
Obviously hitting's not a dying breed, but it's a lost those types of hitters are not really like another guy that played in Winnipeg is Dustin Byfuglien. Whenever that guy was on the ice, you better have fucking head up because you're getting rocked.
There's a couple of them left in the league. I mean, Zadorov comes to mind. There's other ones too that obviously right now they're
well, not. Well, one of my favorite hitters was Cronwall. Like that guy.
Yep.
Oh, the hip checks.
Oh, did
the...
you see Miles Wood get hit this week from, is it Beauvillier?
I didn't see that. No.
Oh, Google it. He gets hit and he gets hit right in the chest. Like, didn't see it coming, and he just went backwards like a brick, like just straight backwards onto his back. He just got
so. Did you see Luke Shen hit on Slavkovsky?
Yes, legal.
He got a penalty for it.
Well, I know it's the way this league is now. Big hit penalty.
You want to know what they got called for? Being too strong.
Oh, it happens all the time.
You hit him too hard, they're gonna have to give you a 2-minute roughing penalty.
Go to a junior game now. Players every night in junior games get called. Every time there's a big hit, it's a penalty. Oh,
it or,
hit. Or. And if somebody gets time, hurt, oh every
time
gosh.
Every time there's a hit, there's a fight.
Yep.
It's, I don't know.
It's dumb. It's dumb.
Stupid. Yeah. It's dumb.
I don't know. This was a busy week of hockey. It really was. It was a jam-packed week, and yeah, good week though. Next week,
yep.
Blake and I are back, and next week's just another week of the Debate Hockey Podcast. It's a usual night, usual time, Monday nights. Not really a usual show though. It's it's our 200th show next week, and maybe we'll have a few things planned for that. So it's a lot of episodes, a lot of listening to Blake. Holy shit! I don't know. Yeah. Enjoy this week's hockey action. And, yeah, we're back next Monday night. Hockey talk every week from the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.